You're listening to an Insight 18 special on Money Control.
The cash crunch at some ATMs in many towns across the country only last month had all of us fearing a second round of demonetization. And that is what we'll be taking a closer look on today. Demonetization and digital payments in India. My name is Rakesh. This is Money Control.
Demonetization and the rise of digital payments in India, an exclusive on Money Control.
It has been 18 months since the first round of demonetization back in November 2016, but our fears remain strong, don't they? I mean, sure, more people pay taxes now, but we'd rather have access to hard cash. This is India. We use cash for 90% of our purchases, and we never took to digital payments fully. I mean, yes, Paytm's full-page ads with Modi's photograph helped us trust mobile wallets, but we still do not trust the government with our money. Why else do we pay such little tax, or why else do so few people in the first place pay tax? No political leader, I suppose, can overcome that lack of trust. So that little fear of demonetization redux got us thinking of digital payments. What happened to them? Paytm was the big beneficiary, of course. The founder turned into a billionaire just a year later. There were a few other digital wallets, but they didn't quite hit the mark. Visa and MasterCard benefited somewhat, but no stupendous successes there either. UPIs saw quick growth, but this entire KYC and Aadhaar deal saw many people just abandon digital wallets. The Janta just doesn't seem ready to make such radical leaps when it comes to money. If we can't see the money, we can't seem to trust it. So let's take a closer look today at digital payments in India since demonetization. First, a quick look at demonetization itself. On the 8th of November 2016, Prime Minister Narendra Modi announced on live television that currency notes with a value of 1,500 rupees would be invalid starting midnight. Over the next 7 weeks, between the 10th of November and the 30th of December, currency notes of 500 and 1,000 worth a total of approximately 15.4 lakh crores were withdrawn by the administration. They claim this was done to attack black money or illegal income, counterfeit currency notes and the funding to terrorist outfits. These large denomination notes accounted for nearly 87% of the value of total notes in circulation at that time. The currency purge was expected to put enormous strain on the system, and the government's counter to the sharp criticism that followed the sudden move was that it was part of a broader push towards a cashless economy. Many ministers and government officials insisted this would help Indians make the transition to non-cash or digital payments. The word Tughlaq was bandied about pretty liberally, and it did seem a little mad at the time. This is a third world country that dealt almost entirely in cash. Most people don't even have bank accounts in the country. But Modi personally pitched for digital payments, even endorsing in full-page ads for Paytm. While his detractors might disagree, the truth was that a large part of the country, especially in rural areas, seemed to approve what looked like a grand gesture that purported to strike at the heart of corruption, that is, black money. For the less impressed, it looked like a Manmohan Desai-style filmy venture that was bound to run aground when it met reality. Live Mint, in its editorial, praised the bold gamble, going on to say, and I quote, "The Modi government has clearly signalled its intention to move against illegal wealth. The currency swap deals with the stock of black money held by tax evaders. The challenge now is to ensure that the creation of new black money is minimised. There is no magic wand to solve what is a deep problem in India, but a committed government plus tax reforms such as the new goods and services tax, that is GST, which creates incentives for producers to seek bills from their input providers will be part of the solution." Unquote. Not exactly high praise, but a nod at the good intentions at the very least. The immediate aftermath of demonetization was the lack of cash. The initial panic and serpentine queues outside ATMs made for a grim outlook. Banks bore the brunt of demonetization. Besides the people, of course. They had to move large amounts of cash very quickly to towns and cities where currency was scarce, which was often. Bank staff were putting in long hours, reconciling cash collection with the ledger and tallying or counting it. Banks' IT departments had to rejig systems to adapt to the changing requirements on a day-to-day basis. This meant very little time to backtest processes to ensure smooth services the next morning. The industry even airlifted currency from towns with surplus cash and moved money across states in record time. Around this time, the government started its push for cashless transactions. The period after the 8th of November 2016 saw a sharp spike in digital payments, including mobile wallets and mobile banking, credit debit card transactions, and UPI, or Unified Payments Interface. Withdrawals from ATMs declined. Of course, we cannot discount the possibility that much of this activity was driven by cash shortage. Financial Express noted that 15 days later, most newspaper headlines were about Paytm touching new highs of 70 lakh transactions. Paytm, which claimed a base of 15 crore customers and businesses before demonetization, became the biggest player at this juncture. There were other mobile wallets, of course, MobiKwik, FreeCharge and PayU, to name only a few. Soon enough, mobile wallets from banks and the government also made an entry to keep up with the sheer volume of transactions. If there is one phrase that encapsulates the demonetization era, it is from Paytm's TV ads. Paytm Karo. Paytm was launched in 2010 as an online mobile recharge and bill payment platform. It is an RBI-approved e-wallet, that is, the user's money is secured from an escrow account with a nationalized bank. And what does that mean? Well, back in 2014, the Reserve Bank of India released draft guidelines for a new kind of institution called a payments bank. These would be able to accept restricted deposits no more than 1 lakh rupees per customer. They couldn't issue loans or credit cards, but were allowed to run current and savings accounts, issue ATM and debit cards, and operate net and mobile banking. 41 institutions applied, including Paytm. In March 2015, Alibaba invested $575 million in 197, that is 197 Communications, the parent company of Paytm. It has made further investments since, close to an estimated $800 million, though there are no confirmations. By August 2015, Paytm was one of 11 entities to be given in-principle licenses by the Reserve Bank. Writing about Paytm, Euromoney quotes Piyush Gupta of DBS as saying, and I quote, "Paytm is basically Alibaba. They're driving the same model through India as the one Alibaba does in China, using the same technology. The underlying model and what they're trying to do are exactly the same," unquote. What set Paytm apart was that it could handle approximately 5,000 transactions per second. Combined with its security and an easy user interface, Paytm was all set for what would be its greatest windfall. On the 14th of November 2016, Paytm claimed to have registered a record 5 million transactions per day on the 12th and 13th November 2016 and 1,000% growth in the money added to Paytm wallets. The platform went from 125 million wallet customers before demonetization to 185 million 3 months later, and it has only continued to grow, hitting 280 million users by November 2017, and Paytm now claims it is on track to have 500 million customers by 2020. There were other players too, who benefited from the move to digital payments. MobiKwik gained 400% in transactions after demonetization. It experienced an 18x surge in transactions and reached a total user base of over 40 million downloads. The mobile wallet recorded 192% annual rise in revenue to 38.07 crores in the financial year 2016-2017. According to the company, over 25% transactions come from semi-urban and rural users, and 75% of their users are millennial. MobiKwik's co-founder and director Upasana Taku told the media, and I quote, "About 10 million merchants started accepting digital payments after demonetization, which is a great thing because prior to that, only around 1 million merchants had access to any kind of digital payments method," unquote. Paytm, the biggest beneficiary of demonetization, was crowned a Decacorn, that is D-E-C-A-C-O-R, Decacorn, after its valuation hit $10 billion. That's, I suppose, like 10 unicorns, a Decacorn. Speaking about the push for digital payments, Paytm's founder Vijay Shekhar Sharma said demonetization won over the entire banking system. "It is very odd for us to believe that we were the single largest beneficiary when demonetization was going on. There is no doubt that digitization won over the industry. It won over the banking ecosystem," he went on to say. Another segment that benefited from demonetization, debit and credit cards. Visa and MasterCard, the number one and two companies worldwide in card transactions, had been struggling in India since their entry in 1996. Visa had released a report in October 2016 that suggested a framework for accelerating digital payment acceptance in India that it claimed could save $70 billion in India over a 10-year period. MasterCard claimed that it had partnered with the Indian government and the Indian Banks Association to develop policies that would encourage electronic payments in the country. Between the two, they developed a robust network with most of the banks in India, establishing POS machines as a preferred mode for the affluent transactions in metropolitan areas. I mean, how many times haven't we whipped out our debit cards to pay for most things in cities? And we've all asked at some point or the other if a store would accept a debit card for 50 or 80 rupees. According to data from the Reserve Bank, the volume of debit card usage, the more popular non-cash instrument for common people to make payments, spiked to 415 million in December 2016 from just 236 million in November. The value of transactions jumped from 32,200 crore rupees to 58,000 crore rupees in just a month. But it was too good to be true. In just a few months after the cash crunch began easing out, volumes declined to 328 million and value fell to 49,000 crore rupees. In May of 2017, the volumes dropped to 267 million at a value of 37,500 crore rupees. Visa and MasterCard between November 2016 and May 2017 experienced an increase in volume of 13% and value of 16% before falling back down to regular levels. All thanks to UPI. As debit and credit card transactions surged 20% in the aftermath of Prime Minister Modi's Notbandi, the number of transactions on the United Payments Interface, that is UPI, an interface developed by the National Payments Corporation of India to facilitate the transfer of funds between two bank accounts on a mobile platform, surged by around 57,000%. This was helped by the man at the helm. In order to encourage UPI transactions, Prime Minister Narendra Modi had launched the BHIM app or the BHIM app or Bharat Interface for Money in December 2017 to facilitate quick payment transactions using UPI. The number of transactions through UPI was very low, only about 1 lakh in October 2016. By November 2017, the number of payments through UPI skyrocketed to 76.96 million. In October 2016 alone, transactions increased from 30.98 million to 76.96 million. It took many people by surprise. Business Standard quotes Nanda Nilekani as saying, UPI transactions, October 2016, 0.1 million. October 2017, 76.96 million. What a story. Gradually, the effects of demonetization began to wear off as more currency was printed, especially the new 2000 rupee and rupees 500 notes. As remonetization gathered speed towards the latter half of 2017, digital payments saw a dip and ATM withdrawals rose. India's affinity for cash, I tell you. It's like when Gollum in Lord of the Rings sees that ring and goes, "My precious." We are like that with cash. The ratio of digital payments to narrow money, which include the most liquid bank deposits available on demand, apart from currency, fell back to pre-demonetization levels, and the ratio of ATM withdrawals to narrow money also reached pre-demonetization levels. Once the cash was back in circulation, ATMs were once again filled with healthy levels of cash and limits on withdrawals were back to normal. Demonetization was pronounced a failure by experts, but digital payments are here to stay. As mentioned earlier, Paytm became 10 unicorns, well, a decacon. MobiKwik seems to have fallen on bad days, but other mobile wallets are seeing a surge in business. It accounted for 62.9 million transactions, approximately 30% of the 190 million UPI-based transactions recorded in April 2018, according to the Economic Times. Yes Bank was a close second with 42.4 million transactions. Yes Bank's transactions are mainly generated through Flipkart-owned payment application, PhonePe. Bangalore-based PhonePe claimed it has seen a 20% spike in the value of peer-to-peer transactions on its app over in April when the mini cash crunch hit. The company said in a statement, and I quote, "What is noteworthy is that Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities have contributed to a disproportionately high number of transactions on our platform." But the overall move to digital looks like a gradual process. In February 2018, the total value of digital transactions in India fell to 1.75 trillion rupees, down 12% from the previous month, according to data from the Reserve Bank. The total number of such transactions also fell, albeit marginally, from 1.12 billion in January to 1.09 billion in February. With WhatsApp and Facebook showing interest and intent in going forward with digital payment, the sector is again looking at massive growth. The second phase of growth might be slower, but could be more permanent. I mean, yes, India overwhelmingly prefers cash. Despite the government's efforts promoting cashless payments, only one-third of account owners have made at least one digital payment in the last 12 months, a new report by the World Bank goes on to note. Almost 65 million account owners in India still use cash to send or receive domestic remittances. But that very push for digital payments from the centre is what makes market players hopeful. The government has asked all departments to enable electronic payment options such as Bheem UPI QR code at their cash counters as part of plans to boost digital transactions. Take MasterCard, for example. In spite of the quick drop after demonetization, the company is optimistic. Mansi Narasimhan, Vice President of Marketing and Communications, recently said, and I quote, "Despite the tremendous growth of digital payments, over 90% of transactions in India today are still done in cash. This gives a tremendous opportunity for all digital payment players to grow, and we believe the opportunity to grow is to further make India cashless and not fight digital wallets or other digital players. We also look to see how we can partner with digital wallets and other players for mutual benefits to deliver a world beyond cash." Unquote. Besides, it is now common knowledge that India's e-commerce market will likely grow at 30% year-on-year to have a gross merchandise value close to $200 billion by 2026. Digital payment companies are positive that this growing popularity of e-commerce in India will benefit them. Another example is the freelance space. PayPal Director of Growth for India, Narsi Subramanian, not to be confused with Mansi Narasimhan, is bullish that the freelancer community will push the digital payments ecosystem. He explains that, and I quote, "In India, the freelancer segment is highly concentrated in the web designing, data analytics and education space. There is high demand for them in big corporate houses as well. It is a fast-growing market of the size of around $10 billion. Freelancers are small businesses, so they need a payment method known to their customers." Unquote. And this is where PayPal comes in. "We are not only solving the issue of payment method, but we are also trusted because of the level of security we offer on each transaction," he went on to say.
Demonetization and the rise of digital payments in India, an exclusive on Money Control.
In closing though, while demonetization has been termed an avoidable mess, or what Harvard Business Review went on to call a poorly thought out and executed policy, what it has certainly led to is us discovering newer ways of dealing with money. The trepidation we had towards digital payments is now replaced with a willingness to explore newer and hopefully more efficient means of conducting our business of money. Thank you for joining us on this showcase on demonetization and the rise of digital payments in India and what the immediate future for digital payments looks like in India. Until the next time I see you, on behalf of everyone else here at Money Control, this is me, Rakesh, saying thank you very much for joining us, and stay logged on to moneycontrol.com so that you can be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This is an Insight 18 special on Money Control.